Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Scripture this morning is taken from Jude, verses 16 through 23. These are the grumblers, finding fault, following their own lust. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lust. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we bow before you, thankful for your word, God, that you have not left us without a witness. You've not left us without instruction and direction for our lives. God, you make the church. You form Christians through your word, and I pray that today that you would do just that. God, I ask that as we come and as we think, God, we would be clouds with water and we would be trees with fruit, God, that we would be what you've made us to be, and that is those who represent and reflect the goodness of Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Well, June 2012, this past June, was a tough month as far as weather goes, and I know many of you lost your gardens in that month. We set a record that month for our area on Thursday, June 29th, at a high of 109 degrees. That was hot. But the worst part was the fact that in that month, it rained only a quarter of one inch. One quarter of one inch, 0.25 in the rain gauge is all that we got. And I can remember in that time, as the month went on, seeing clouds forming and getting really excited, only to see them just go on by, just blow on by in the sky, never dropping a drop of water, right? They just moved right on along, never giving the land the drink that it had promised. The promise that it gave us in the sky proved to be false. It was a cloud without water. Now, most of us were probably familiar with the account of Jesus when Jesus passed by the fig tree in Matthew 21. Jesus was coming that morning to Jerusalem. And this was just a few days before his crucifixion, and he was hungry that morning. He hadn't had anything to eat, apparently. And the Bible says that he became hungry, and he was walking along, and all of a sudden he got excited because he saw up ahead of him a fig tree with leaves all over it. It was green. It was full of foliage. And that excited him because apparently figs can grow on the fig tree before the leaves do. So if there were leaves there, then he expected figs to be there. And so Jesus was thinking, man, hunger problem solved. I'm about to get my belly, something in my belly. But when he got up to that fig tree, it was full of leaves, but it was barren of fruit. It was a tree without fruit. The promise that it set forth as Jesus saw it from a distance, with its lushness to provide some food for him, a snack for him, proved to be false. And in judgment, what did Jesus do to that tree? He cursed it. And the Bible says that it withered immediately. Clouds without water and trees without fruit fall short of what God made them to be, what they were supposed to be. And that's the problem that's being addressed in our text today. You see, in the Epistle of Jude, written by Jude himself, who was the half-brother of Jesus, along with James, who wrote the book of James, they're all one family, all right? Jesus, James, and Jude, all brothers. He's bringing a scathing letter against some folks in that church who are causing problems. He calls these troublemakers, he calls them hidden reefs, which destroy ships. And for those of you that have sailed, I've never sailed, but if you come into a reef and not see it, it's going to mess up the bottom of your boat and it's going to sink it. He calls them clouds without water. He calls them trees without fruit. He calls them wild waves of the sea. And he calls them wandering stars. And in doing so, you see, these troublemakers, he says, have lost the love of God. They had lost the love of God. Now think about that for just a moment, church. Think about that for a moment. What an awful thought it is that you trade in the love of God for the wrath of God, for the displeasure of God. But let me tell you, that's what happens if you stir up trouble in Jesus' church. God's displeasure rises against you. Verse 19 tells us that these troublemakers were causing division because, the Bible says, they were worldly minded and devoid of truth. Those are strong words. I told you it was a scathing letter. And he says we shouldn't be surprised by people like this. Verse 17 and 18, Jude says, the apostles have already told you these sort of people were coming. Look at verse 17 and 18. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lust. And I say to you, church, we are in the last days, so we should expect people to stir up trouble, for people to stir up division. How are they doing it? Jude gives us some details here. He shows us five ways that this people that he was writing to, how they were stirring up trouble. One, he says they were grumbling. Two, he says they were finding fault. Three, he says they were following after their own lusts. Four, he says they were speaking arrogantly. And five, he says that they were flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. Gaining an advantage. I don't know if that sounds familiar to anything you've ever experienced, but I think I've known some people and some situations that seem eerily similar. All right? And here's the problem. That sort of attitude, it spreads like gangrene through a church. We get sucked into sourness. We get pulled into grumbling. We get drawn into fault finding. You hear someone say something negative about that person, it's easier for you the next time to say something negative also. And it just builds and it grows. We're tempted ourselves to become clouds without water and trees without fruit. But God through Jude was trying to lead the church in a different direction. He was trying to take the people down a different road. Instead of being clouds without water and trees without fruit, the Bible says here that God wants us, He's aiming for us to be clouds with water, to be trees with fruit. And in doing so, they would keep themselves in the love of God, which means they're clouds with water. They are clouds, or they are trees with fruit. And that's hard when there's a lot of negativity around you. But so today, I want to help you. I know that every sphere of your life, in your job, in your school, in your family, in your church, there are going to be moments of trouble. There are going to be moments where something happens, where something gets stirred up, and it becomes hard because someone gets negative, and it's easy to just jump on that negativity bandwagon and ride with them. But God says, I've got a different path for those of you who follow Jesus. I want to help you today to stand against that sort of thing. And Jude gives us some really good instruction here on how to do that. Here's the subject for us today. How to keep yourself in the love of God when trouble is being stirred up around you. How to keep yourself in the love of God when trouble is being stirred up around you. In other words, how to be a cloud with water and a tree with fruit when others aren't. Okay? So the one command we get here, this is the one command that we get in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And then God gives us five ways to do that here in our text. The first three we're going to look at are internal ones. These are ones that you yourself are accountable for, that's inside of you. Other people can't really see this going inside of you. They'll feel the effects of it. But these are internal to you. And then the last two we'll look at are external to you. So, let's get to it. The first way that you keep yourself in the love of God when trouble's being stirred up around you is that you commit to continue growing. Commit to continue growing. Look at verse 20. Verse 20, Jude says, God says through Jude, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith. Remember, there's only one actual verb, and that's keep. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's the command here. But he's going to throw in some other verbs, some other participles to help us build up on and explain how do we do that. Listen, in times of trouble, the temptation is to get your eyes off the Lord and on the trouble. Have y'all found that to be true? When something gets stirred up, you quit looking at Jesus and you start looking at the troublemaker. You start looking at the problem, or you start looking at the thing that's frustrating you or disappointing you. And the devil loves to see that, because there's no stasis. There's no just standing still with your relationship with God. When you take your eyes off the Lord, you shrink back from Him. You turn from Him. It's like with a car. If you drive a car and you look to the left, your car's going to go to the left. The car goes where your eyes go. And the same thing with your relationship with God. Your relationship with the Lord goes where your eyes go. You're either getting closer to God or you're getting further away from God. And when you take your eyes off of Him, you begin to sink. Much like Peter did. You remember Peter when Jesus was walking on the water? And Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Well, get on out here, Hoss." And he jumped out on the water with him, and he was walking on the water until he took his eyes off Jesus and began to look at the waves. And he said, "Oh, what's going on? I can't." And he began to sink. He took his eyes off of Jesus and put his eyes on the waves. The same thing's true for us spiritually. You see, when trouble comes, you've got to commit to growth. Commit to growth. That means that you attach yourself to the most holy faith. That's what he says here. Building yourself up on the most holy faith. And you continue to come to church, to sing to the Lord, to hear Bible preaching, to continue to be involved in the small groups offered here at West Main Baptist Church, Sunday school, discipleship training. Right? You continue to be involved to read the Word of God on your own. You continue to pick up other Christian books which are going to edify you in the Word of the Lord, and you're built up by that. Listen, God does not want you to be a fair-weather Christian. God does not want you to be a fair-weather church member. God desires for you to be committed and to grow, to keep going. You see, when the going gets tough, true Christians keep on going, don't they? They keep on going. True Christians build up on the foundation of the most holy faith. I'm no expert on trees, but they tell us, experts do, that if you cut a slice off of a trunk of a tree, if you were just to cut out a slice, a round slice, a complete bisection of that tree, that you can tell how old it is. They say that each ring represents a year, okay? But not only that, the experts also tell us that we can see, we can determine what kind of year it was for that tree, because big rings equal a great year, right? Big rings equals lots of growth, which equals a great year for the tree. But the opposite is true, right? Small rings equal little growth, which equals a tough year for the tree. But listen to me, we ain't trees, church. We're not trees. We're to grow when it's a good year. And we're to grow when it's a bad year, when it's a tough year. We're to grow. In fact, God wants us to grow especially in those lean years, especially in those tough times. So if you're going to keep yourself in the love of God when trouble's being stirred up around you, then you must commit to growing, commit to continue growing. Secondly, Jude points out for us here, if you're going to keep yourself in the love of God, when trouble's being stirred up around you, then you must, number two here, make Spirit-empowered prayer your lifeline. Make Spirit-empowered prayer your lifeline. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, praying in the Holy Spirit. It's another participle there. And this participle is magnifying or giving us depth to the main verb, keep yourself in the love of God. Praying, he says, in the Holy Spirit. You know, when trouble comes, you better bet your flesh wants to rise up. Have y'all found that to be true? Right? You don't really realize who a person is or even who you are until trouble comes up when you're tested. And that's when you really find out how much you're like Jesus. Write this down. When trouble comes, the devil wants you to either blow up, clam up, or soothe yourself with sin. When trouble comes, the devil wants you to either blow up, clam up, or soothe yourself with sin. The devil will take any of those. He'll take any of those options he would love to see you do. Here's what I mean by blow up. You see, the devil would love to see you in a fit of rage go off like a $2 watch, as my daddy used to say. He would love to see you lose your witness before a watching church and a watching world. And you better believe that when trouble comes, it's going to poke you, it's going to prod you, it's going to antagonize you, it's going to bait you to try to get you to blow up. But I say to you, blow up, and the devil wins. By clam up. Clam up, I mean that the devil would love to see you cower in the corner, trembling with your mouth shut, head turned away. That's what the devil would love to see you do. Can I just say that that's the one I'm most tempted by? Maybe I've shared that with you. I'm not a person that likes conflict. I move away from conflict if at all possible. I'll escape it. But again, the devil wins when we do that. Trouble will threaten with force or something like that to push you in this way. And, you know, in the news this week, we've seen a lot of that, haven't we? Right? We've seen a lot of that over in the Middle East. Think about this for just a moment. Why do Muslims attack, and why do they threaten, and why do they blow things up? Because they want people scared of them. They want to bully people into letting them do what they want. They don't really care to convert you. They just want to subdue you. Okay? And that's what the devil would love to see in the church. The devil would love to see us with our mouths shut in a corner, shaking. That's what the devil wants. That's what I mean by clam up. Finally, soothe yourself with sin. That's the third option the devil would like to see with you. By soothe yourself with sin, I mean that the devil would love to see you turn to some sinful means to help you cope with the trouble. To help you cope with it, right? The most common temptations are drugs and alcohol. You'd be tempted to get drunk to just help you forget all of the problems. Or maybe you'd be tempted to take some pills or smoke some weed to just help you get by. But friend, listen to me. These things fix nothing. In fact, they make it worse. So, you don't have to blow up. You don't have to clam up. You don't have to soothe yourself with sin. Why? Because God points us to a much better way here, church. God says, don't you forget that the God of the universe is on the other line, right? The God of the universe, you have direct access to Him. He reminds us that we have access to the very one who created you and holds everything in being. You don't have to lose your witness by blowing up. You don't have to be immobilized by fear and trembling. You don't have to use sinful coping mechanisms. You've got a lifeline to heaven, church. And it's called prayer. But even more than that, God reminds us to couple that prayer with Holy Spirit power. That's where the power is, church. When you bow your head to God in prayer, asking Him for strength, God doesn't turn a deaf ear or a blind eye. He supplies. And can I testify that that's true? God supplies. He comes through time and time again. There's been many a time, church, where I've went into my prayer closet, cowering, but came out courageous. There's been many a times where I've went in fear and came out with a ferocity, a righteous ferocity for God. Why? Because God supplies. When you go to God, you've got a lifeline to heaven. He will not turn a deaf ear. He'll supply what you need. And even if you hit your knees and you don't know what to say, you're at a loss for words. Y'all ever been there before? I was speaking with a saint this week and she said, I don't even know what to pray, Brother Ben. I said, that's all right, sister. You just sigh and moan to God. And He knows it. That's what the Bible promises. Listen, when you don't have words to say, God knows your heart. Romans 8, 26 and 27 teaches us that God, when you moan, and when you groan, you don't have words to say to God in prayer, that it speaks books to God. Books. More than the prayer that you would have said, it speaks to God. Listen to what it says. Romans 8, 26, 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And so, friends, think about this. Trouble trembles when Christians pray. Why? Because it brings the power of heaven to earth. It's not because trouble is scared of you. It's not because the devil is scared of you. No, no, no. It's God that they're scared of. And when you pray, you get hooked up with Him. Get on your knees and make Spirit-empowered prayer your lifeline when trouble comes. Third, God tells us that to keep yourself in the love of God when trouble is being stirred up around you, you must hunger more for heaven. Hunger more for heaven. I wonder this morning, are you hungry for heaven? I mean, do you long to see heaven? Do you long to be there? I know that every one of us, we're on a continuum, and some of us hunger none for heaven. And some of us would step in it this second if we could, right? And we're somewhere in that continuum. But when trouble comes, it pushes us more toward ready to step into heaven this very instant. Look at verse 21. Jude writes, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And this again is modifying it. It's giving depth to the command to keep yourself in the love of the Lord. Listen, don't let the fact escape you. Don't let the fact escape you that God allows troubles to happen. And what God has ordained to allow, He plans to use for His purposes. Okay? There's none of this God getting caught by surprise. There's none of this, oh, God would have done this otherwise. God has ordained that trouble happen. But what He's ordained to allow to happen, He plans to use for His good. And one of the reasons that He does this is to demonstrate in stark contrast, in vivid detail, the difference between this age and the age to come. In great contrast, a fallen earth and a perfect heaven. You see, when trouble comes, God wants us to sharpen our hunger for heaven. You just open up the newspaper. Some of them you got to open up. I mean, whatever the newspaper is, the Smithfield Review, you don't even have to open it up. They put all the bad news on the front page, okay? I mean, but the Tennessean, you usually got to open it up a few pages, but the Smithfield Review, just pick up the paper. I look at all the bad news every day when I go by the store, and I'm like, I don't even have to buy it. I know all the bad stuff right there, okay? But think about this. When you pick up that newspaper, if your heart doesn't cry, come quickly, Lord Jesus, you might not even be a Christian. Think about this. Friend, do you realize what God has promised in the age to come? He's promised that pain will be gone. He's promised that sorrow will cease. He's promised that fear will be no more, that lack will be non-existent, that righteousness will be aplenty, and that goodness will be everywhere you look. What a difference from what we witness here. And when I think on it, it makes me long for heaven. It makes me hungry. This fallen earth is not our home. We're foreigners. We're sojourners. We're aliens in a land that's not ours, church. Heaven is our home. The Bible says that we have a citizenship in heaven. We're seated with Christ on high. He's hidden our life there with Him. And in the age to come, heaven will come down to earth, the Bible says. And God will renew the earth, and we will live in resurrected, glorified bodies on a resurrected, glorified, new earth. God will be here. He will be amongst us. And trouble makes me hungry because we ain't there yet. We're not there yet, but it's coming. It's coming. And when trouble comes, it makes me long for heaven. And that keeps me in the love of God because I can't wait to see Him come. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Fourth, we're moving from the internal to the external here in number four. God tells us that to keep yourself in the love of God, when trouble is being stirred up around you, you must minister to your brother and sister in Christ. Now think about this with me. This just makes sense. This just makes sense. Minister to a brother or sister in Christ when trouble comes. Verse 22. Jude says, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Have mercy on some who are doubting. And I believe that phrase those who are doubting, or some who are doubting, and pointing us to followers of Christ who are struggling in the faith. Maybe even as I say that, someone comes to mind. Maybe you yourself come to mind. You see, one of the ways that we stay strong in the faith is to help those who are weak in the faith. You see, like wolves, think about this with me, like wolves stalking sheep, troublemakers prey on the weak ones. Troublemakers go after those who are on the fringe, those who are easily swayed, those who are already a little bit disenchanted. And we must stand with them against the troublemakers and against trouble. Again, the devil wants us to get our mind off of ministering to other people. He wants us to get hunkered down and self-focused. But Christianity is the very opposite, isn't it? Christianity is advancing. It's taking new ground. It's not hunkering down. It's not being self-focused. It's others-focused. That's why the greatest indicator of a person in spiritual trouble is when they come to a service where Jesus is sung to and where the Word is passionately preached, and then they walk away and say things like, "I didn't get anything out of that." That's an indicator that they are in spiritual trouble. First, they should pray against their hard hearts to God and their stiff necks, so that the Word of God would be palatable to them. It would be sweet to them. And secondly, they're asking the wrong question, church. The question is not, did I get anything out of the service? The question is, did I put anything into it? Right? Those who have that attitude, those who seek to minister to their brother and sister in Christ, those who come on Sunday morning looking to sharpen, and they know that along the way they'll be sharpened themselves, they're the ones that are a blessing. Those are the ones who are clouds with water and trees with fruit. They're the ones that are keeping the love of God when trouble is being stirred up. Friends, let me ask you, who are you ministering to? Every one of you should be finding a way to minister to someone. I'm not saying you're ministering to someone through this church. Maybe it's your neighbor, right? Maybe it's a person at school. You know, the beauty of the kingdom of God is that not all the ministry should not come through this church. In fact, you know what? Most of it should just come through individuals. You should just be out being Jesus to people. You should be out there representing the hands and feet. There's only one pastor here at West Main Baptist Church, but there are as many ministers as there are followers of Jesus Christ. Are you ministering to anyone? Find someone to minister to so that you'll be safeguarded when trouble comes. Think about that. It's a safeguard for your heart when trouble comes, because you've got a task. You've got someone that you're living for, that you're working for. And your heart will be kept close to God. And finally this morning, God tells us that to keep yourself in the love of God when trouble is being stirred up around you, you must seek the salvation of those around you. This is another external one here. We just talked about ministering to a brother or sister in Christ, but now we're going to those who are not brothers and sisters in Christ yet. Seek the salvation of those around you. Look at verse 23. And I love the imagery here. I mean, it's so catchy, right? I mean, it just gets me. It engrosses me. It says, "Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh." You see, I believe that Jude is pointing here to an evangelistic effort. Again, the devil loves for us. He loves to have trouble. To get us fighting against ourselves, because this gives the devil an advantage, because instead of fighting against the kingdom of darkness, we're fighting with our brothers and sisters in the light. That's why evangelism cannot be shrunken back from, even in times of trouble. Right? We got to stay with what God has placed us here for. You see, people who are ministry focused on seeing the saints built up and seeing the lost saved, they don't have time for a bunch of foolishness. They don't have time to sit back and for in-house wrangling. Think about this for a moment. Do you realize that since early July, we've had about a half dozen people trust Christ? And praise God. God is working, church. If we'll just get our eyes back on the ministry that He's given us, God will pull us through whatever we come through, whatever troubles come our way. That's what this church is about. That's why God has put us here. It's to be a base of assault against the kingdom of darkness. It's to be a rescue mission, pulling people from the fire. It's to be a washing station, cleansing those who wear polluted garments. Seek the salvation of those around you so that your heart will be safeguarded when trouble comes. And you'll stay in the love of God. I couldn't imagine God frowning at me because of me. I want Him to smile. I want Him to be proud. I want Him to look at me and say, "You're close to me. I love you. Well done." And I know that you want the same thing. You want the same thing. So I ask you this morning, where is your heart? Has it been kept in the love of God? Are you stirred up to God? Are you excited about Him? And is He excited about you? And this morning, you who are apart from Jesus, let me talk to you for just a moment. Jesus Christ stands ready and waiting. I want you to get the imagery there for just a moment that you are in a house of fire. Think about that for a moment. That's a depiction of hell, isn't it? You're in a house of fire and you need rescuing. And the only one that can rescue you is Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you've never turned to Jesus, you are in a house that's leading to death. But Jesus stands ready if you'll only turn to Him, if you'll only ask Him. Today, maybe you've ran from God for a long time. Maybe you've spit in the face of God for many years. Today, would you turn to Him and give Him a hug? Today, would you surrender to Him that you might have life and life everlasting? Friends, this morning, here's my prayer for us. May you, who are beloved of God, let down healing rain and bring forth sweet fruit. Be clouds with water and be trees with fruit.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.